Thousands of villagers have returned to their homes on the slopes of Indonesia's deadly volcano as it has become less active in recent days. But 270,000 refugees are still in emergency camps as their houses were destroyed or they lack clean water and food. The mountain's activity level has now decreased, although an alert remains in place. Regional coordinator of Caritas Asia, Father Bonnie Mendez, spoke with Lydia O'Kane about Caritas's work in the region.
Indonesia, unfortunately, was hit by more than one disaster. The earthquake went into the background because the volcanoes keep erupting. And it's not one, it's a whole series of volcanoes. And they are becoming very active in different places. So, which is a new phenomenon that many of them are active at one time. And therefore, it's very difficult for the government and the people, even those involved in relief, of how to, you know, help. But they've got a whole team there. Karina in Indonesia, that's our Caritas partner. They call themselves Karina as a local word for charity. And they're doing a great job given the problems in Indonesia.
Obviously, they've had experience of, well, certainly with volcanoes, that's one thing, but with the earthquake, they've obviously had experience with that going back to 2004. Did that help them to learn lessons?
Yes. It's the water that comes, the waves that come and hit. And it's not an earthquake that just, the minute it happens, is immediately after that. And in this particular case, for some reason or the other, the alert was given, and then the alert was lowered. It was not kept on high alert, and then the people might have moved away. But unfortunately, the wrong signal went out, and many Christians have died in one of the islands. I wouldn't be able to give exact figures, because those were just coming in when I left.
So what happens now to the people? There's obviously the relief stage is over. It's in another stage now. Whereabouts are we with this?
From the information that we are getting, it's still at the relief stage in quite a bit. And then what is temporary shelters, so that and then negotiations with the government, because when these things happened, the land of people and so on is not no more demarcated. So if you have to build and they own the land, then you don't know which piece of land belongs to whom, because the whole thing gets flat. So it's and you need a lot of equipment to get things moving when the houses have been demolished in the same place. So that takes a long time, especially on the islands, to get heavy equipment to clean up the rubble and so on, have the demarcations again. Then negotiations go on with the government, what kind of shelters and what to build where and so on. So it's a very difficult phase.
Just wanted to turn our attention now to, you were saying that you were away for the start of the G20. I just wanted to ask you, how high a priority is humanitarian assistance? How high is your work on their agenda?
I don't think, G20 would look at humanitarian assistance as much as looking at the poor, at least we did, looking at the poor and what kind of economic policies there should exist in the world. That we were looking at a pro-poor development, whereas very often the big business and all are looking at their gains at a meeting like G20. So there was a lot happening in Seoul at one time. We were looking at it from the point of view of the poor, the perspective, and what should be brought forward to the G20 leaders. Others were looking at, you know, what financial gains they can get. The currency war, you know, is a big one. What kind of changes should take place, and what kind of development. Now, there's another thing that the whole banking rates of what rate they give for the investments, that's a big change. And some of the Asian currencies now, like the baht in Thailand, at one time we would get 40 for a dollar. Then they got 35. Now it's below 30. So, you know, we just can't understand. On one side, there's whole economic crisis. On the other hand, the baath is getting stronger and stronger. So now the Prime Minister was speaking of getting the baht with the Chinese yuan rather than the dollar or the euro. So there is a whole currency war that is taking place, and the whole economic front, it's a very complicated sort of battle. I've sent you the final statement of the Pax Romana, ICMICA, the whole, the youth that grown up now today and are very still active. As students they were, and 30 years ago or 40 years ago, and they continue to be active today in this world of whole globalization and financial crisis.
Speaking of the global financial crisis, I mean, even we're seeing in Europe, many countries are still being hit by it. It's not by any means over. Is it a case then that maybe countries feeling the pinch of a financial crisis don't want or are less eager to step up to the plate to give to developing nations?
Yes, that is really big. And then there are so many crises. It's not one. If you take Vietnam was hit by typhoons, Philippines was hit by a typhoon, you have the floods in Pakistan, you have Indonesia, the tsunami, then you have the volcano. Today, New Zealand was hit by a mine disaster. I mean, the people have been hit all over the world. There was a drought in Russia. So it's very hard that there have been so many crises. And this is very, very new. We did have these things before, but it was not in this magnitude. I'm not talking of Africa at all. And then the political sort of dimensions of things, like Sudan, the north and south, and the political dimensions, if there's no quick solution to that, there'll be another huge disaster in Sudan. And perhaps it can be avoided if it's handled correctly by all sides. It's very difficult, but it has to be done. And the United Nations particularly has a very big role in peacekeeping and these particular cases. If they don't come up with peacekeeping forces, then it will be very hard. And the reason why they cannot have peacekeeping forces, because some nations don't pay them for what they have to pay to the United Nations. So it's as simple as that. Unless these countries give... We don't want other wars. We don't want the NATO forces like in Afghanistan or the forces in Iraq. But peacekeeping forces, they're welcome.
Just turning our attention to another recent, fairly recent disaster, Pakistan and India, with flooding. How is that going? Perhaps you could update us on what's going on there.
The disaster was so very big that very many millions were homeless. And now it's down to 2 million people who are still homeless. This is 3 months after the floods. Caritas Pakistan has taken on the target areas of shelter, the sectors they are going to work in, shelter, livelihood, and health. They have restricted themselves to those three areas. And they are looking at various areas where they have to help. It's a disaster that has hit the whole country. Therefore, you have to pick up areas where you're going to work. And there are other Christian organizations that are doing great work, and they will continue to do so. The Society for Human Development of Dobatik Singh, you have other Christian NGOs, all have moved in, and the religious orders are going in for massive rehab programs, the Salesians, the Jesuits, the Jesus and Mary Sisters, the Sisters of Charity. La Salle Brothers have given now money for seed for the farmers, and very many congregations have stepped up and are willing to help, and help in a very big way. Besides Caritas Pakistan, some of them, you know, since they are working in particular areas, they prefer to do it themselves and to supervise the work themselves. Others are joining forces with very many who are doing work locally. So there's a lot going on, and I know that each of them has the plate full of, you know, the work is much too much. 2 million people to rehab is to, you have to settle them somehow. And again, where do they stay? Who's going to give the land? All those other things. The United Nations is working. The Red Crescent is working. What you call the Red Cross here. They are also active. But the church particularly, because church reaches out to the grassroots in each place. It has very good contact in each place. Whereas people like the Red Cross and all may have foreigners who come in and work. Whereas here it's the local Christians who are locally based and then have contacts. And in this context, especially that you can build dialogue, because a lot of our aid is going not merely to Christians, but to also the Muslims. Or in Sindh, it's to the Hindus as well. So it's a very good opportunity for interfaith dialogue and interfaith growth.
You were talking about this year being, well, it was a bad year in terms of crises. There were a lot of them. How much of a strain does that, when you look back on this year, how much of a strain has that put on Caritas Network, having to deal with crisis after crisis after crisis?
Pakistan, definitely, the strain is always there. It's not merely the floods. You have the whole, all the blasphemy cases, the laws, very many things. And all the while you're also trying to survive as a church. You're trying to dialogue with others who perhaps are not interested in dialogue. And then they have their demands. Like the Taliban, when you talk to them, the ones we meet, they are saying, just get the NATO forces out of Afghanistan. Stop the drone attacks. And those are their demands. And we are unable to convince anybody, you know, that how do we go forward? After the war began in 2001, we are in a crisis. And I cannot see in Afghanistan that we are going any further. It's really running to remain in the same place. And it looks as if there's no progress because there's no democracy, there is no rule of law, and the so-called police and others you're developing are just giving in to the whole jirga system. So we are going back to 50 years ago. That's it. In Afghanistan and the northern areas of Pakistan. There is no real, you know, sight of any kind of development, progress, that after so many years of war and so many people have sacrificing their life, so much money is going in there, it's big.
As we move out of 2010 and we go forward to 2011, what would you see as the main challenges going into that year? Obviously, there were unforeseen things that could happen, earthquakes, flooding, that kind of thing. But what do you see as the main challenges going into 2011?
I think the challenges of good governance, as I see it, and how we can support good governance. In every country, there are opportunities, despite all the floods and despite everything. Even in the floods, you know, how does the government respond? How quickly does it respond? What kind of crisis cell do they have? How do they dialogue with people that can help? I think good governance is very important. We've got oppositions that merely, you know, trump up things for the sake of opposition. It just will not cooperate with the government. That should not continue. We need national governments that can really work with the people, give women priority in their work, give religious minorities importance, give people who have been left out in the development work an opportunity to grow. It's possible. And I think 2011, we could really focus on those kind of things. I was just talking about Sudan. Now, that's a very good example. If the government with the people can come up with something positive, that, you know, there's going to be no war there. There'll be a very peaceful transition. Peaceful transitions are very important, even in Korea. I mean, there's need of some kind of peaceful transition. It doesn't seem possible when you think in the box, but you have to think something wider and something more radical. and hopefully there'll be progress. Myanmar is another place where there's a great opportunity because a leader, Santui, is now out, but what kind of dialogue can there be? And I think the media sort of pushes much too much its own viewpoint, and sometimes what the West wants in certain things. It's for the local governments, it's for the local people in each place to come up with their own solutions. And good governance is very important.
Well, just looking at that point, and then looking at Caritas's role in that, in supporting, yes, the good governance, but where your role as a Caritas network, whereabouts would you see yourself within that mold?
In Caritas as well, we have to keep certain, interfaith dialogue. We have to keep good governance. We look at take a rights-based approach that people working, on humanitarian aid have this emphasis of zero poverty. That there should not be poverty in our countries. That people have so much money, a few people, and if not in the country, then abroad as well, that we have to come to a thing that there is one humanity and we have to fight poverty to its very end. The Millennium Development Goals had these big goals to end poverty. We have not done very much and time is running out. We are coming to 2015, but before that maybe we can do a lot more and end child mortality. Work with women, have more education. A lot of those goals can be realized. Even if we begin take this late start, maybe we'll not reach 100% results. But the Millennium Development Goals can be looked at all over again in 2011 and again go forward to fight poverty.
I'm going to turn it over to you and just ask you, is there anything you want to pinpoint while we're here? Is there anything in particular?
Just when I was leaving Pakistan last week, there was another woman that was sentenced to death under the blasphemy law. I do not have very many details because unfortunately here we've not had email and this hotel. And I'm trying to go to the cafes. It's a bit far and then when we get there it's full. It's very unfortunate. But that, is always a reminder of a certain atmosphere in Pakistan where blasphemy is brought up again and again to just offset their own private wars, private struggles, private rivalries. And that's very unfortunate. And this atmosphere where people can be charged for blasphemy for nothing at all, this over-religious atmosphere that we have, where people become very determined to fight for their religion, that's very sad. They're not living peacefully with one another. This, I think, is a message that I would like to give, that we should have much more tolerance, much more of an approach where we find common solutions to problems that we have.